As many of you know, we are at a critical season in our political calendar here in the United States of America. This last week was the Republican National Convention, held to much fanfare and media attention in the city of Cleveland. There was some civil unrest. There were some arrests that were made, some protests going on outside. This next week, we are looking ahead to the Democratic National Convention. Again, much fanfare, much media attention. And if you've been following the news, like I have, you may notice some significant unrest, some significant anger, some significant disunity when it comes to our political process. As an election is on the calendar for November that will put, it appears, one of two people into office, the sides, the two camps are gearing up. They are already yelling and screaming at one another. They are already calling one another every name that is in the book in hopes of prevailing in this election. We have seen in recent years, perhaps it's not all that different from the what we have seen in years past, but now with all the instrumentalities of media and Facebook and Twitter, everyone's voice is heard, and we hear such a, we see such a, if you will, tearing apart even of relationships over the way that we view our government. And we've as we've talked about in recent weeks, we've seen the recent interactions between government and citizens, interactions between police and those that they are attempting to subdue or arrest. We've seen great tragedy in some of those interactions. And we have looked at, again, these protests and things that are spiraling, it almost appears, out of control into greater unrest. And so I think it's very fitting that this morning, as we've looked the last 2 weeks at Romans chapter 12 and what is our response to evil when it comes into our lives. Last week we looked at how we are to always be those that never take vengeance for evil that comes into our life, but instead to have victory over that evil, to overcome that evil with good. The week before, we talked about how we as Christians in this call to Christian engagement and to involvement, we are to come alongside those that are suffering evil, that are facing evil, and identify with them to come alongside and understand where they are grieving and grieve and weep with them. It is fitting that after looking at those two important topics in Romans chapter 12, we now look at Romans chapter 13 in our response to government. Now, friends, this is not my opinion here this morning. My goal this morning is simply to present in front of you the Word of God, what the Word of God says about how we are to look at our president, President Barack Obama, how we are to look at our president that will be elected in November. What does the Word of God say about how we are to treat the governor of the state of Minnesota, the mayor, Betsy Hodges, of Minneapolis? How are we to treat the police officer that drives around our streets? How are we to treat the state trooper that pulls us over on the highway? How does the Bible say, as Christians, we are to respond to those who are in a position of authority over us? And what I want to suggest very interestingly to you is the word that Scripture uses, that the Apostle Paul uses here to describe the person who is over us in government, whether it is the president or the governor or the mayor or the city councilman or the police officer who walks our streets. Look at what the Word of God describes this person as. Verse 4, "For he is the minister of God." The minister of God. I remember it was a very important and a very sobering thing when I stood in front of you about 2.5 years ago, before certain ones of you, and was ordained to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a time where I said before God, I am willing to be God's servant and to stand in this pulpit and to say what the Bible says. And I'm willing to stand as God's minister, as God's servant, and be accountable to Him for the actions that I take. My friend, Scripture says in the same word, in the same principle, in the same idea, that those who are over us in government, again, whether it's from the top, our president or Supreme Court, down to the very lowest level of government, they are the ministers of God like I am. In fact, the word that is used here in the Greek to say they are the minister of God is the same word that Scripture uses to define a deacon in the church. In other words, we might say, just as there are elders and pastors and deacons in a church, so it is that those who are in government in any way are the deacons of God, the servants of God, the ministers of God. And friends, if they are the ministers of God, Paul tells us how we should treat them, whether they deserve it or not, whether they are good or whether they are bad, whether they are making good decisions or whether they are making bad decisions. They are the ministers of God. Amen. What I'm going to ask us to come into today is a message I'm going to entitle A Call to Christian Submission. A call to Christian submission. And it's a biblical call to submit to those whom God has placed over us in our government. And it's not simply because we are an American that we submit to our government. It is not simply because we are maybe a patriotic American that we submit to our government leaders. It is because we are a Christian that we submit to our leaders. A call to Christian submission. What does this Christian submission look like today? Let's understand, first of all, the opposition. The opposition. Why does Paul say to us, and if you have your Bibles open, I encourage you to have them open to Romans chapter 13. Why does Paul say, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers? Now, exactly, if I were to put that in our own words today, I would say this. Let every soul submit themselves under the governing authorities. Why does Paul say that? I've said this before, but do you know that whenever Scripture gives you a command to do something or not to do something, it's because by nature you want to do the opposite? Do you know that when the Bible says don't steal, it's because by nature we kind of like to steal when it helps us out? Do you know that when the Bible says be honest to everyone, don't lie to anyone, it's because when we get in trouble, our natural tendency is to say, no, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. We naturally are liars. We naturally are thieves. Why is it that the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself? It's because I don't want to love my neighbor as myself. I want to love myself as myself. And if I have any leftover love to give, maybe I'll sprinkle a little bit on my neighbor. No, it's because we are naturally in opposition to the commands of God. And so when the Bible says you put yourself under your governing authorities, you put yourself under your government, we know that it's because our nature is to resist our government. Our nature is to do our own thing. You know, first of all, it's because we're human. It's because we're human. You know, there are some times that the government says, hey, you know what? I don't want you to do this. It's not good for society. But there's sometimes you want to do that because you think it's good for you. You say, I want to drive faster than the speed limit because I'm late for something. Which of us hasn't been there? You say, but this doesn't make any sense that I need to get a fishing license. It's so stupid. It doesn't make any sense. I'm just not going to do that because I know better. You know, that's human nature. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. The government says something and you say, oh man, I don't think that makes a lot of sense. I don't want to do that. Do you know how you know that's our natural inclination? Any of you that are parents will know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a two-year-old here in the church somewhere who shall remain nameless. I'm sure you won't be able to figure out who this two-year-old is, okay? But this two-year-old is in a stage of life where he loves contradiction. Mommy and daddy says yes, and he says no. mommy and daddy say no, and he says, yes, yes, I will. Why? Because it's human nature. I didn't need to teach him to do that. He just did it because that's human nature. We resist those who are over us. But it's not just because we're human. It's also because we might say in some sense we're Christian. Our natural inclination is to look at the government and see all the ways it's failing. Do you know that the Bible says what we are as Christians? We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. Did you know that? Do you know that before you're an American, you're a Christian? Do you know that your first loyalty is not to the government of the United States of America, it's to God? You're a Christian before you're an American. Sometimes Christians get that mixed up. They wrap themselves in their patriotic fervor and put that flag around them. I'm not saying patriotism is a bad thing. No, God has blessed us with the country that we're in today. But we remember, first of all, we're Christians. We are strangers and pilgrims walking around this world. And as we walk around as strangers and pilgrims, we see the government doing evil things. We see the government taking taxpayer money and doing things that God says, that's horrible. Why are you doing that? And we say, God, look at what they're doing with my money. And sometimes people say, you know what? They're doing bad things with my money, so I'm not going to give them any money. I'm just not going to pay my taxes. They say, do you know what they're doing? I don't like this government. Look at how bad this leader is. Look, at he's not a Christian. He doesn't love God. He does all these horrible things. I'm going to rebel against him. I'm going to reject him. I'm going to throw off his authority. You see, that's our nature that can even be from our belief as Christians. But notice third, it's also not only the nature of humans, it's not only the nature can be of Christians, but the nature of the government itself. Do you know that Paul was speaking this to people who were under a government that were killing them? If you go back to Romans chapter 8, Paul quotes the scripture to say, we are being killed all the day long. We are being slaughtered just like sheep. Do you know Paul was writing about a Roman government here that would one day put his head on the chopping block and cut his head off because he was a Christian and his life? That's the government that Paul was talking about here. Paul was talking about a government that would take Christians, wrap them up in animal skins, and send dogs after them to eat them, just for fun. He was talking about a Roman government that would take Christians, solely because they were Christians, put them in a big sporting arena, and send lions in after them to eat them, while everyone else, with a big crowd, Quran said, well done, wow, this is great. Can you imagine? Because they were Christians. He was speaking about a government that would take Christians, affix them to a pole, cover them in wax, and set them on fire, and put them as torches to line the way to the palace simply because they were Christians. That's the government that Paul was talking about here. Now, wouldn't it be natural if a government is coming and trying to kill you because you're a Christian, because the police are knocking at your door as they've knocked on doors in Russia, and as today they're knocking on doors in China and other places around the country and saying, are there Christians here? Are there Christians here? All right, come on, you're dead. We're taking you to be killed because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Do you think that if that were happening here to you today, you might be saying, wow, we got to fight back. We got to go back against them. We got to round up our armies, and it's going to be a Christian war against this wicked government. That would be natural, wouldn't it? We're persecuted for the cause of Christ. We say, this government doesn't owe me anything. I don't owe it anything. It's to this government that Paul is saying, let every single person be in submission to the governing authorities. My friends, can I say this? You may look around at our government today and say, wow, it's going bad. Wow, things are a problem. Do you see all the ways that God's law is being violated? I'll tell you this much. They're not rounding you up and throwing you into the lion's den. You look at the violence that is so plaguing our society today. You look at the violent interactions between police officers and others, and you say, oh, Lord, what's going on? And I tell you what, it's not as bad as it was when Paul was talking about this government here back in Rome. It wasn't that bad. You see, Paul is speaking to people. He's speaking to our very nature. Our very nature is to resist authority of those who are placed above us. But this is why it's so critical here, my friends, that in the face of this natural opposition to the government that is in place over us, no matter how wicked it is, no matter how evil it is, no matter how much it's opposing the cause of Christ, Paul says, let every soul be in submission to that higher power. Let's understand not just the opposition, but let's understand the ordaining. The ordaining. Look at what Paul says here in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, I told you about the time when I stood here before a number of you and was ordained as a minister, ordained as a pastor here at Straight Gate Church. I took on a role of God putting me in a place of authority as the pastor. And what Paul is saying here is those that are in the government, whether they're our president or our Supreme Court justices or our senators or our governors or our mayors or our police officers, have an authority that is given to them by God Himself. Did you know that? Look at what he says here. First of all, this power is from God. Notice that he says, for there is no power but of God. Do you know that any government that is in the world today, whether it's communist China or whether it's the United States of America or whether it's a government in Africa, wherever it is around the world, the only power comes because God allows it. Because God has set in place the institution of government for your good and my good. My friend, do you know what's worse than a really bad government? No government. Do you know that? Do you know what's far worse than communist China today? If there were no government in China. Because God has placed government in our lives for our good, to restrain evil, to promote good. Now, this goes back, we won't get into it for purposes of time, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 9, and you see God's institution of government after the flood, Noah gets off the ark, and God says to him, I want you to know that when someone takes man's blood, when someone sheds man's blood, they murder someone else, I'm giving a sword for man to execute punishment. That power, that authority is ordained of God. Now, Jesus knew this. Remember Jesus stood before those that were interrogating him? He stood before a man named Pontius Pilate, who was the governor over him. He was the one who was over Jesus Christ. And he was talking to Jesus, and Jesus wasn't answering him. And Pilate says, you're not even going to answer my questions? You're not going to talk to me? He says, don't you know that I have power to kill you or to save you alive? And you know what Jesus said to him? He said, I want you to know something, Mr. Pilate. He said, you would have no power over me unless it were given you from above. He said, Pilate, you want to know who's above you? God's above you, and he's the one who's given you authority. My friend, do you want to know who's given President Barack Obama his authority? God. Do you want to know who's given the authority to the police officers who drive around our street or the mayor who is in charge of us over in Minneapolis? God has. The power is of God. He is the one who is over them. Now, it's not just very important to see that this power is from God, but it is also through God. In other words, these people who are in government are instruments of God. They are used by God. Now, let's look at this. Look again in your Bibles at verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, look at verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Do you remember what we looked at last week? The Christian is the one who hates what is evil and loves what is good. He hates evil. Do you know what God has given the government for? To punish evil, to prevent evil, to restrain evil. The government says it's evil to steal, so don't steal. It's evil to murder someone, so don't murder someone. The police come alongside when someone's been murdered and they say an evil has been committed, and it's our job to find the person who has done this evil and bring them to justice. Did you notice the words that were said here? Those people in government are the ministers of God to avenge, to bring revenge upon those that do evil. Whose revenge? God's revenge. Now again, let's link it back up to what we talked about last week. Remember what we said to Christians? Christians never take revenge. Christians never avenge yourselves. Why? You give your vengeance to God. You say, God, if something evil has been done, you can take care of the evil. And do you know what God does with the government? He says to the government, okay, government, you take care of some of that evil. Do you know why? That's when someone acts in evil against you, it is right and appropriate to go to the government for their punishment against that person. When someone is abusing you in some way, or someone is evil treating you in some way, God has given the government as a source of revenge, as a source of His vengeance against what's evil. And that's where the punishment of our society, whether it's in prison, or whether it's the death penalty, or whether it's in probation, whatever it is, there is the sword that God has given the government to be His revenge against people who do evil. That's the role that God has given. Not only to punish through as an instrument of God evil that's in our society, but also to promote that which is good. I remember a family who was here who used to attend this church. My dad would tell this story, how he came across their path after many years of missing them. And they were so excited to say, you know what? We were just named the family of the year by the President of the United States because we had such a comeback. We had such a turnaround in our lives. God has gotten a hold of us and done these wonderful things through us. They were named the comeback family of the year. And what a wonderful thing it is when a government sees what is evil and resists it, and when a government sees what is good and promotes it. God has given them as an instrument of God to do that. Now you say, okay, well, that's all well and good, but what about our government? What about all the evil things that our government's doing? What about all the evil that our government is promoting? Does that mean that they're no longer the instrument of God? Well, friend, let's think about what God says about certain rulers in the Bible. If you go back to Jeremiah, do you know what God calls Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked, vile man? He says, he's my servant. He's my servant. Do you know what God says about Pharaoh? Remember, God said, let my people go. Stubborn Pharaoh, he said,
no.
He stood up against God and says, I'm not going to listen to you. Do you know what God said about Pharaoh? God said, for this purpose I have raised you up. You're still my servant. You're still my minister. You may be rejecting me. You may be rebelling against me. You may be calling what evil, you may be calling good evil and evil good, but you're still my minister. You're still my servant. My friends, it's very important that we understand what God has put in place here in our government, in those whose job it is to punish what is evil and hate and promote what is good. This is why I grieve when I see, I read a story recently on those that were in Chicago. Do you know that in Chicago this year, there have been, I think it's already over 2,000 shootings in this year alone, shootings. And there was a story about those that were shot and they went to the police went to try to investigate. And over in this story it says they weren't cooperating with the police. They weren't talking to the police. They weren't trying to help the police solve this crime. My friends, that's not what Romans 13 says. Romans 13 says that it is the job of the police to punish that which is evil and to promote that which is good. And so we are those that want to see them punish what is evil. We want to see them promote what is good. And so we should be those that are cooperating, that are helping to make sure that evil is being punished in our streets and in our communities, and that good is being upheld. Oh, let us not have this code of silence. Let us not have this kind of example that we look at the police as being someone that we oppose in all circumstances. No, my friend, they are the servants of God. They are the ministers of God. And we should be saying, oh, may you punish evil appropriately. They are to be the ones that have the sword that God has given. Now notice here, third, it's this sword, this power that has been given to the government is not just from God, not just through God, but it is for God. It is for God. Now, as I've just said, because our president is the servant of God, because our mayor is the servant of God, because our city council people are the ministers of God, there is a very real therefore for us as we're going to look at. But oh friends, if you're a Christian and you hate evil, shouldn't you love to see the government punish that which is evil and promote that which is good? Of course. Now let me be clear. In this society, there is a sword for people who violate their government authority. When a police officer does not hold out his oath to protect and defend, but instead acts wrongly, there is a sword, there is a minister of God to execute vengeance upon him. And when that happens, we should say, God, may you wipe out this evil. May you punish this evil. May we see it. When there is a president or a senator or someone else who acts in such a way against his God-given authority, and there is a sword that has been given, whether it's impeachment or some other kind of punishment, it is right for us to say, God, may your will be done here. May evil be removed. May this corruption be taken out of our government. I'm not saying that we close our eyes to what evil is. I'm not saying we close our eyes to the evil that our government propagates, whether it's killing the lives of the unborn or whether it's doing some other thing that God says is a horror to him. That is something that we are to see as evil and call it evil. But nonetheless, the Bible says he is the minister of God. And what an important thing that is. So we see, first of all, here, the opposition. The opposition, our natural opposition it is to those that God has placed in authority over us. And that is in direct opposition to the ordaining that God has put in place of our civil government. But I want us to look third at then the Christian obligation. What is the obligation that God puts before each of us as Christians as it relates to our government? What is it that we are to live as Christians in this world? The Apostle Peter says this in a different passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me how you live as a Christian is in some part dependent on how you honor and obey the laws that are in place in this government. Did you know that? Did you know that your obedience to God depends in part on whether you're obeying the laws that are in place here? That your obedience to God depends in part on how you treat the speed limit? That your obedience to God depends in part on how you treat the various other details that God has placed in life? That your obedience to God depends in part on what you do with your cell phone while you drive? That your obedience to God depends in part by whether you're following and complying with what God has said? Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Why? Because friends, if you are a Christian, your first loyalty is to God. And when God appoints ministers, God appoints servants of His to execute judgment against evil and promote that which is good, it is part of our Christian submission to God to submit ourselves to those whom He has placed over us. Do you know what this starts first of all with? Is our honor and our respect. My friends, this is so important in this day and age where we see such harsh dialogue against our leaders. We see people looking at the potential of a President Clinton and being outraged by it, or seeing the potential of a President Trump and being horrified by it. And we see all this very hateful dialogue. We've seen it even indeed, I think, in over the last number of years toward our president. My friend, whether you agree with our president or not, he is the minister of God, and so he is due honor. He is due respect because of his position. My friends, when we don't respect him, when we don't honor, give honor to those that are in authority over us, what Scripture says here is that we are not honoring God, that we are not respecting him. It's very important that we give honor. whether it's our president, whether it's our mayor, as I've said, or whether it's our police officers that are walking our streets. They are the ministers of God. But you see, it's also more than just honor. It's more than this just kind of respect, as I've said. It's obedience. Now, I want to be very clear. Is there a time? Is there a time when we as Christians must disobey the government? You better believe it. You only need to go back into the book of Acts, when there were times when the government said, stop preaching about Jesus Christ. And you know what the apostle said? We better obey God instead of man. If the government tells you to do something that God tells you not to do, you obey God. If the government tells you not to do something that God tells you to do, you obey God. It's not my job today to explain all the ways in which perhaps it would be right for us to disobey. It's simply to say this. The expectation, the default rule, the normal rule, the general rule is that we submit ourselves and obey the rulers that God has placed over us. We arrange ourselves underneath their authority. That's what it means to be a Christian, my friend. Because in obeying our government, we are obeying God who has set that government in place. You know, friends, we can ask ourselves difficult questions. What about Hitler? What about this person? What about Stalin? What about these people over here? But let's deal with ourselves today. Are you obeying the government that God has put in over you? Are you coming into subjection to the ones that He has placed in your life today? Are you respecting and honoring the people who have devoted their life to being God's minister for now? Let's just start there. Let's just start with that question first. Because it's going to have an effect on how we're obeying God Himself, who has put those people as His minister. So we see here, it's not just the obligation is not just to honor, it's not just to obey. But thirdly, it is to display. It is to display. Now look at what he says here in verse 3. Paul says in verse 3, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. What is our obedience and our honor and our respect meant to be a demonstration of? When we offer it to our government, no matter whether it's evil or good, no matter whether it's persecuting us or whether it's living free, letting us live free and peaceable lives, when we say, God, you have put people over me, they are your ministers, they are your servants, it doesn't matter whether I agree with them or I disagree with them, as long as they're not commanding me to do something against the commands of God, why will I put myself in subjection under them and submit? It is because I am showing myself to be a Christian. It is because I am showing myself to be a servant of God. I was reading a pastor who was talking about this when, in relationship to those that were under communist rule in Russia and were literally being killed, sent to concentration camps, stripped of their freedom simply because they were Christians. And they were asked, did you do anything to protest? Did you do anything to stand up and say, no, this is wrong, this is horrible what you're doing? They said, no. Do you know why? They said, because when we suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ, we want to make sure it's only for the cause of Jesus Christ. We want to make sure it's clear that we're suffering for Jesus Christ and not for something else. They wanted to be clear about that. And friends, think of the example of these Christians that Paul was talking to. Christians that were being sent to the lions to be eaten. Christians that were going to be hung up on poles and lit on fire as torches to have their life be burned literally from them. Christians like Paul that would one day have their head chopped off for the cause of Christ. When those ones, in the face of that evil and in the face of that horrible treatment, were the ones who nonetheless submitted themselves and said, you're the minister of God, and so I'm going to obey God through you. What did they show themselves to be? They showed themselves to be Christians. They showed themselves to be those that had been so transformed by the power of God in their life, so far changed from their previous opposition to the government authorities, so far transformed to have the love of God flow out to their enemies, even when those enemies were sitting in government above them, that everyone would look at them and say, "There's something different about you. You're a Christian, aren't you?" You see, friends, it's one thing for us to look at that passage where Jesus says, "We are the light of the world, and therefore let your good works be seen before men, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven," and say, "Oh, that relates to me going and helping this woman across the street or going and being in need." Friends, it's more than that. It's whether you obey the laws of the country that is here. It's whether you are putting yourself in a place of honor and respect and submission to God through the government that He has given you. Again, I'm not saying that there aren't difficult decisions as Christians that we must face when the laws of man come against the laws of God. I'm not attempting to say that this morning. That's another sermon in and of itself. But I'm asking you this morning, is your treatment of the government that God has placed over you one of respect and of obedience? It's a call to Christian submission today, my friend. It's not a fun call. It's not a call that my flesh likes when I'm running late and there's laws that I want to violate to get there on time. It's not something that I enjoy when it comes down to the very root of the matter. But if I want in all things to please God, if I want in all areas of my life to submit to Him and to His leadership, I'm going to listen to the Apostle Paul, who says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers." Why? Because whether it's President Obama, whether it's Governor Dayton, whether it's Mayor Hodges, or whether it's every single law enforcement officer driving around this city, they are the ministers of God to you and to me for good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the ministers of God that you have placed over us. Thank you that even when they are promoting evil, even when they are violating your laws for government, even when they are rejecting you, they are still your ministers. You can still work through them. You can work through wicked Pharaoh, just as you work through any wicked officer we see today. And so I pray, Father, that you would bring us to that place of Christian submission here this morning, that we would understand the role that you have for each one you have placed in authority over us. May there be that submission to you this morning. As we pause, let me just ask you, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, have you submitted to God in the first place by becoming a Christian this morning? Have you ever submitted to Him by repenting of your sins and trusting in Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven? My friend, you can come into that submission here this morning. You can be saved. You can hear that joyful sound, "Jesus saves." If that's you this morning, you can slip out from where you're seated. You can come to these steps. Someone will take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Is there anyone who would come this morning and say, "I need to submit to God. I need to be saved"? Father, we thank you for the governing authorities that you've given us here in this country. Oh, we pray for those governing authorities, Father, that you would work through them, that they would punish evil, that they would promote that which is good. May we live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And Lord, I pray that whatever the response is from our governmental authorities, that we would live those lives of Christian submission to which you have called us. Now we ask, Father, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost would be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.